Hello, you're listening to the podcast of Bay Ridge Christian Church. Each Sunday, our aim is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ from the text of the Bible and to catalyze the hearts of our hearers to love and gratitude towards God and all of His creation. We hope you enjoy this teaching, and we pray that you will be encouraged to trust in Jesus today.
Growing up in the Bell household, not only were there many, many memories that we made, but we made many, many different memories in different places. I've lived personally in eight different states in my life because my parents moved around a ton. I mean, everybody would always ask us, hey, are you guys in the military? That's how much we would move all the time. And so I had no idea why we moved. I talked to my parents a couple years ago of like, why did we move so many times? And there were different reasons for why we moved. But after I really kind of got to the core of it all, my parents, they let me know that in a way, every single move that we had, it was because my parents, they were sensitive to the Lord's call on their lives. He was calling them from place to place to go to different places. And here's what I learned after talking to them a lot about that, is that for every calling you have, there will be a sacrifice. For every calling, there's a sacrifice. For every yes, there is a no. For every I will go, there is a I must leave. And so that's what I learned in their life. And I remember chatting with them a couple years ago. And the biggest sacrifice I can recall, even as a kid, was way back in 2003. So way back 2003, God called my parents and my family to leave Pittsburgh where we were to go to New York City. We were called to go to New York City to be pastors. And so in 2003, we up and we left and we went to New York City. While we went there, we had to make a big decision. We had to make a huge decision. It was, what do we do with our house? So it wasn't just a normal house. It was a house that was given to my parents from her parents. And it was a big house. It was a mansion. It had tons and tons of property. And so we had to figure out, what do we do with this? And initially, the decision was, well, we're just going to sell this property. We're going to sell it and get rid of it. But and then the Holy Spirit spoke to my parents, spoke to them, and instead of selling the property, they were actually called to give it away. And that was significant. That was a very hard thing for them to do. They didn't sell it, but they gave it to somebody, and it wasn't just any old person, but they gave it to people in the city that were called to plant a church. And so they gave this property away, and we moved in 2003 and went to New York, and we started the training to become pastors. Fast forward from 2003 all the way up to 2018, I'm a youth pastor in Georgia. I come back up to Pittsburgh, and I'm eulogizing my grandmother who had passed away. And the next day, that was Saturday, we were called to go to church on Sunday. And my parents wanted to go back to this house. And so we went back to this house. And I will never forget, it's literally one of the joys of my life, was sitting in that house, which was now a church, to see that place packed out with people, celebrating and worshiping Jesus Christ. The lesson that I thought about when I saw that was that my parents' sacrifice, it became a success for somebody else. Their sacrifice, it led to somebody else thriving. And ultimately, what happened was it had an eternal weight of significance as compared to the temporal success they could have had if they kept that house. Now, why do I start there? Well, I want to honor my parents. I want to kind of give you guys a window into the life of my parents. But I really start there because it actually reminds me of the sacrifice that we're going to see in Luke chapter 5, where Peter, he gives up so that he can follow Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verse 1 all the way down to verse 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, all the way down to verse 11. And now here's the question that I want us to be kind of thinking about as we dive into this passage. Let me give you a heads up too, by the way. I'm not going to be preaching for long. There's a lot of things happening today, so this is going to be like a quicker sermon. So we're not going to focus on every verse in this passage. I'm actually just going to focus on one verse in the passage, verse 11. But here's the question that I want us to be thinking about as we read this passage. What happens when you respond to the call of Jesus? what happens when you respond to the call of Jesus? We're going to see Peter in this passage. We're going to see why he responds to the call of Jesus, that he is a sinner and Jesus is a savior, and so he knows he needs to respond. You're going to even see an internal response that happens with Peter, that he responds in humility and he drops to his knees before his savior because he realizes that he's a sinner. There's an internal response that's happening too, but what I want to focus on is the external response. What happens when you respond to the call of Jesus? Let's pick up in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading in the CSB version. If you have another version, you'll hear it and understand it, but CSB version, verse 1. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But what if you say, but if you say, I'll let down the nets." Verse 6, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter, he saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and those who were, for he and those with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Verse 11. Then they brought the boats to land. Now here's the key phrase for us this morning. They left everything and they followed him. So what happens when you respond to the call of Jesus? Well, Peter in verse 11, he leaves everything and he follows Jesus. Here's the question. Why does Peter leave everything to follow Jesus? Here's the simple answer. Because that's what happens when you respond to the call of Jesus. You leave everything to follow him. Not some people, but anybody who hears Jesus and responds to his call, you will leave everything and you will follow Jesus. I'm not going to make you go there, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples and he says this. He says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, let him pick up his cross and follow me." Notice Jesus, he didn't say, if some people want to follow me, if bold people want to follow me, if strong Christians want to follow me, they need to deny themselves. No, he says, if anybody wants to follow me, he must deny himself, he must pick up his cross, and he or she must follow after me. Well, what is he saying? Well, he's basically saying we all need to do exactly what Peter did in our passage. Everyone's called to do exactly what Peter did. It's not just for the elders. It's not just for the pastor, but it's every single Christian is called to leave everything to follow after Jesus. So here's the big question that I want to ask then off of this. It's this. What does it mean to leave everything to follow Jesus? What does that mean? Does that mean that you are called to give up your house? Does that mean that you're called to give up your car? Does that mean you're called to leave money behind to follow after Jesus? Does that mean that you need to go overseas and be a missionary to follow Jesus? What does it mean? Does it mean that you need to give up your career? Does it mean you need to give up your retirement? What does it mean to leave everything to follow Jesus? Well, we're going to figure it out. We're going to go back to our passage to kind of understand what it means to leave everything to follow Jesus. And here's what we'll find. We'll find that what Peter left behind will actually help us to understand what we need to leave behind. Because what he left behind is what it means to leave everything to follow Jesus. Now, we're going to go back into our passage, but let me give just a little bit of context here. Peter, as a young boy, before Jesus met him, as a young boy, he grew up in a city called Bethesda. It was a real small town. It was on the banks of the Jordan River. It was next to also the Sea of Galilee. Lots of water, lots of fishing that would have happened. I looked it up, and most scholars, they believe that the nickname of this town, Bethesda, was Fisherman's Haven. Why was it called Fisherman's Haven? Well, it's called Fisherman's Haven because it was heaven, basically, for all those who were in, all of the residents who were living there, because they all would have grown up knowing how to catch fish, and ultimately they would have monetized their fishing to actually sell and to make a living. That's how they provided for their families. And so if you're Peter, a little boy in this town, you would have learned how to fish from a very, very young age. And so as we come to the passage, Peter, they believe, is about he's fished for about 20 years, and he's a professional fisherman at this point. And a lot of people believe that Peter was actually very successful at this point, as he has some partners and he has this fishing business. Now, as we come back to our passage, Peter, we just read it, but Peter, he's exhausted from fishing all night. Remember, he's a professional. So he's been fishing all night long, and he's caught absolutely no fish. And so he wakes up and he's ready to go home and he's cleaning out his nets. But next thing he knows, Jesus, who he had previously encountered, jumps into his boat. Jesus jumps into his boat and Jesus tells him, hey, Peter, go back out into the water. Peter, super exhausted, is like, okay, I'm going to go back out to the water because you're the teacher, you're the master. So he goes back out into the water. Jesus, he preaches a powerful sermon. And then he looks to Peter and he says this, look back at verse 4. He says, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and we've caught absolutely nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Verse 6, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, what just happened there? Peter just hit the jackpot. He caught two massive boatloads filled with fish. And I said massive boatloads because these weren't those little kayaks that you see on the water. Think of those bigger boats that you see on the lake, those big boats. They're about, scholars believe, about 27 feet long and about 7 feet wide. Huge, huge boats that it says that Peter filled up both of these boats with fish to the point that these boats began to sink, that they had to get their partners to bring them in. Peter just caught two massive boatloads of fish. What does that mean? It means Peter just became an overnight success. He just hit the jackpot. Peter is excited. Now, here's the question. What would you do if you're Peter? What would you do? Well, I know what I would do. I'm not going to get into what I would do because I'd be a pretty rich man and I would take advantage of that. I'd get out of Bethesda. But what does Peter do? Peter, he knows he's a professional fisherman. He knew that to catch a few fish at this point, this would have had to have been a miracle. But he didn't catch a few fish. He caught two massive boatloads of fish. And so Peter knows, in order to have just done what just happened, this had to have been God. And so Peter, what does he do? He drops down to his knees. Then he worships him. And then Peter says something interesting. We're not going to dive too deep into it because it's not the point. But he says something interesting. He says, get away from me, Lord. Because he sees his sin and he sees the holiness and perfection of God. And he says, I need you to get away from me. But listen to what Jesus responds to Peter. It's such a beautiful thing. He says, don't be afraid. And then he looks at him. He gives him a purpose in his life. And he says, from now on, you will be catching people. Verse 11, then they brought the boats back to land. Peter, he left everything and he followed him. Peter left everything. Now, we said that already, right? I thought we already said that. I thought we said that Peter, he left everything. And if we're Christians and if we've responded to the call of Jesus, that means we're going to leave everything and we're going to follow Jesus. But remember, what we're trying to discover and what we're trying to figure out is, what does it mean to leave everything to follow Jesus? Well, if we look a little closer at verse 11, just a little closer, we'll see that Peter, when it says that he left everything, it doesn't mean that he left everything he had. Peter, he didn't leave his house. He didn't leave his car. He didn't leave his dog. He didn't leave his wife. That's not what he left. He didn't leave everything, but he actually left something very specific. Look back at verse 11, you'll see it. It says one more time, then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and they followed him. What did Peter leave? He left two massive boatloads of fish. The two massive boatloads of fish that just made him successful. That just made him rich. See, if Peter, if he would have taken these two massive boatloads of fish back to his city of Bethesda, back to Fisherman's Haven, Peter would have been the most successful person in the city. He was an overnight success. And so when Peter leaves everything, he's not leaving his house, he's not leaving his car, but he's leaving success. He's leaving success. So watch this. Peter, instead of wanting success, here's what he wanted, is he wanted significance. Instead of being a fisherman, he left everything to fish for men. Instead of filling his boats with fish, he wanted to fish. He wanted to fill heaven with people. That's what happened. That's what Peter was doing. So here's our question this morning. What does it mean to leave everything for Jesus? It actually means something very specific. It's this, and here's the big idea, is you leave success for significance. You leave success for significance. We're called to do as Christians exactly what Peter does right here in verse 11. That's exactly what we are called to do. But we're not called to leave literal boats of fish. We're called to leave what the boats of fish represent. We're called to leave success for significance, earthly success for eternal significance. We're called to give up personal greatness for a greater purpose. Success, it's about personal achievement. Significance, it's about achieving a heavenly purpose. Success is to gain. Significance is to give. Success is about status. Significance is about service. Success is about making a name for yourself. Significance is about making a difference in the lives of other people. Success is a measure of what you've accomplished. Significance is measured by the impact that you have had. Success is temporary. Significance is eternal. And just like Peter, we have to learn that following Jesus, here's what it means, is it means you give up the world's measurements for success, for a heavenly call, the call for significance. So what does it mean? What does it mean to leave everything to follow Jesus? It means you leave success for significance. Now, as we come to a close here, I want to ask this question. What does that look like? What does it look like to leave success for significance? What does that practically look like in our lives? Well, I wish I had a lot of time to really flesh that out, what that could look like, because I think really what it looks like is you'd have to look at your own life and you'd have to figure out what God has done, and you just have to do a lot of that. I can only tell you through examples. But here I want to give you one question to consider that might be able to help us here. So what does it look like? Here's the question that I want you to consider. What's in your boat? What's in your boat? So Peter, remember, he left two massive boatloads filled with fish. But what did that represent? Represented success for Peter. Represented success back in Bethesda. That's what he left behind. So what's in your boat? Here's the way to ask the question. What in your life represents success? What represents success? Like if you became an overnight success, what would that look like? What would that look like? If Jesus was in your boat, what would you want him to fill that boat up with? What's in your boat? Do you want your boats to sink with the praise from your colleagues? Do you want your boats to sink with financial security? Do you want your boats to sink with the recognition that comes from career success or communal status? What's in your boats? What do you want your boat to sink with? Here's what Peter had to realize. That he could not follow Jesus while trying to haul along two massive boatloads of fish. Couldn't do it. Chapter 5, verse 11, Peter, Jesus, he calls him. He says, come and follow me. Peter could not stop and count how many fish were in that boat. Peter could not go and sell any of those fish. Peter didn't have any time. He couldn't say, well Jesus, just give me 1 second. Can I eat two of the fish at least? I'm hungry. I've been fishing all night. Like, can I do that at least? No, Peter didn't have any time. It says immediately he left those two massive boatloads of fish and he followed after Jesus immediately. He had no time to pause, no time to eat, no time to monetize it, no time to start a bigger business. He had no time for it. He had to go immediately to follow Jesus. Here's what we have to realize, is that you cannot follow Jesus and still drag along worldly success. It doesn't work. You can't have both. You can't follow Jesus you can't follow Jesus if maintaining the approval of others is more important to you. You can't follow Jesus if, again, financial security is more important to you than Jesus. You can't follow Jesus if your career achievements are more important to you than following Jesus. You can't follow Jesus if worldly success is more important to you than heavenly significance. You can't do it. You don't have time. It's too much to drag along. You've got to keep moving forward. So here's the question again. What's in your boat? What is in your boat? We've got to stop holding on to dreams of sinking boats. We've got to follow Jesus. Now, let me say this. This can mean that God is calling you to give up something tangible. My parents, they gave up a house. I remember for me, I was called to give up my dream, which was to play baseball in the professionals. But God called me into ministry. And I remember my senior year, I had to give up my dream to leave the team. I remember talking to my dad on the phone. It was the hardest decision I've had to make, at least as a student. But it was the hardest decision I had to make. And I had to figure out, am I actually willing to follow Jesus full time? That was subjective. That was for me. God called me to do that hard thing. It made me uncomfortable. People made fun of me. People said I couldn't do it. I remember walking across campus and people looking at me weird. Isn't that the captain of the baseball team that's about to give up his dream? I remember people doing that. To me, it was something tangible. I had to give that up so that I could follow Jesus. It might mean you got to give up social media. It might mean you got to downsize a little bit and lower your standards. It might mean that you have to give up something tangible. But it doesn't always mean that you have to give up something tangible. As a matter of fact, it can also mean that you have to give up something intangible. What do I mean? Well, it might mean mentally disassociating yourself from the praise of people. Here's the reality, and I'll get a little bit of I'll get personal right now. When you're following Jesus for some time, it's really hard to figure out the difference between success and significance. Why is that? Because it looks the same. What do you mean, Simeon? Well, for me, I can preach. I can preach, and I can fill up heaven with people. But I can also preach and fill up my own boats. I can get praise from people. I can get approval. I can get people to scream my name. You see that? You see how success, significant, what's the difference? It's intangible. It's something mental. It's something that I have to disassociate myself with to say, hey, I appreciate you saying what you said, but my goal is significance. My goal is that the word of God would be preached, that people would be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. That's what my goal is. Do you see the difference? When you're following Jesus, you have to really figure out what is in my boat. It might mean that you let go of the control, or excuse me, you might let go of the need to control things, to give that back to God. It might mean releasing the pressure to meet someone else's expectations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, what's in your boat, and how do you give that back to God and give it up so that you would follow after him? But we're going to end here. Perhaps more importantly than leaving success is actually going after significance. Perhaps that's more important, because the main focus in the passage is not that Peter left success, but it's that he pursued significance. Peter, again, I said he didn't pause. He didn't stop to actually take inventory. He didn't count the fish. He didn't figure, what do I need to leave? That's not what he did. As a matter of fact, if Peter stopped to think about how many fish that he just caught, I'm not so sure he actually would have followed Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? It wasn't so much that he was leaving something. It was actually what he was moving to that mattered. Here's the point. The point is, don't focus on what you're giving up. Focus on what you're gaining. Don't focus on the loss. Focus on the win. Don't focus on success that you're leaving, but focus on the significance that you're pursuing. That's what Peter did. He saw Jesus calling him, and he didn't have time to even think about what he was leaving because he saw how amazing Jesus was. He saw the call. He saw the mission. He saw the purpose that he was calling him to, and that captivated him in such a way that he didn't even have time to look back. It wasn't so much about I left success. it was more about I pursued significance. Now, you might be saying, what does that actually mean again? What does it mean to pursue a life of significance? Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, I don't have time to actually go read this, but it's what we call the Great Commission in Christianity. It's Jesus' great command that he gives to all people. It's basically him saying, I want you all to leave everything so that you would go fill heaven with people, that you would go live a life of significance. And what does he say? He says, I want you to go and make disciples. That's really all it is. What does it mean to pursue a life of significance? It means to advance the kingdom of God. It means to evangelize and bring people into the faith as best you can, inviting people into church, preaching the gospel to your coworkers. And it also means maturing people, serving at youth groups, serving in the kids, serving here at church. It means maturing people into the image of Christ, making disciples is what Jesus calls us all to do. That is the life of significance that he calls us to. He calls us away from worldly success, temporal things. And he says, I want you to leverage your life here on earth to pursue a life of eternal significance. So what do I do with my job? What do I do with my finances? What do I do with my family? What do I do with my house? Well, I don't know what you do with all those things, but what I can tell you is you should at least use those things to make disciples. Use those things to further the kingdom. I just heard that you guys are having a bonfire at Parvilla. I almost burned myself there a couple times, by the way. But you guys are having a bonfire there, using my house to bring the church in. Just trying to bless people. We say here at Bay Ridge all the time that you are called to be a blessing. You are blessed, as a matter of fact, to be a blessing to the world. It's living a life of significance so that others would be served, so that others would be uplifted and not ourselves. So hear this. This morning, it's not so much about asking, should I leave my job or not? That's not what I'm trying to get to you guys. It's not so much about asking, should I go overseas to be a missionary or not? It's not what I'm trying for you. I'm not trying to get you to ask that. But it's more about asking, am I making disciples where I'm at? Am I going after people right now? Do I understand what Jesus is calling me into right now? And here's the reality. We all fail this, don't we? We all do, right? I mean, no one has perfectly done this, not even Peter. Peter lived a life, he was up and down and up and down, sin all over the place. But the beautiful thing is, every single time you hear God's word, every single time you hear him calling back out to you, you can always leave success and pursue significance, following after Jesus, leaving everything behind. As I think of my parents, you know, leaving Bay Ridge, it's not so much about leaving here as it is about where God is calling me to go. Now, for us, as they are leaving, it's a bitter thing. But we always say it's bitter and it's sweet. Gospel goodbyes are the hardest thing. Why are they the hardest thing? Because you meant something and you impacted us. That's why it's so challenging. But we're so blessed because we're saying you're going to go do exactly what you're called to do. You're going to go make disciples. You're going to go live a life of significance. You're just going to repeat what God has called you to do over and over, moving from place to place to place, whether it's giving up a house or whether it's giving up of your time, whether it's giving up of whatever God has called you to give up to pursue a life of significance. And I think we all can learn from that example. I think we can learn from the example that God has called us to give up so that others can get up. But don't just look to my parents. Look to Jesus. Don't just look to me. Look to Jesus. Don't look to Brett. Look to Jesus. Think about it. Jesus did that very thing. Jesus did not come to earth to live a life of success, but he came to earth to leave his imprint by living a life of significance. Think about Jesus back in the garden when the devil came to him and he tempted him. What did he tempt him with? He tempted him with power. He tempted him with authority. He tempted him with comfort. He said, I will give you everything that your eyes are looking at right now. I will make you the most famous person in the world. I'll make you more famous than Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I will make you famous. But what did Jesus do? He said, no, that's not what I came for. I didn't come to be successful. I came to be significant. How did he do it? He came to die the death that we deserve to die. He lived the life that we could not live so that we could have relationship with him, the relationship that we were designed to have. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about Jesus as someone who came, who said no to success for significance by doing the hard thing. He picked up his cross literally. He stood on a cross literally, and he died for our sins. Now here's what Jesus asked us to do. He says, now go do it for someone else. Not that you would die for someone else, but that you would deny yourself so that someone else can understand that he died for them. That's what we're called to do. It's a beautiful thing. It's called, I'm willing to sacrifice what I have for someone else's success. Every calling has a sacrifice. Every yes, there is a no. Every I must go means I must leave. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we do acknowledge that we're imperfect. We fail all the time. If we're honest, every last one of us in this room, we would say that we are tempted to carry and keep all of the fish that we have caught. We're tempted to leave significance, as a matter of fact, and pursue worldly success. Every last one of us. But we're so grateful for your son. We're so grateful for what you've done for us on the cross. Because there was one man, one God, who came to this earth to do it perfectly so that we would not have to do it at all. So thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for giving your life for us so we don't have to do it. So now you offer and you say, please now follow me so you would give up everything for other people. So help us to do it. Empower us, strengthen us by your Spirit, Lord. And it's in your Son's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in humility. We recognize that in ourselves we are capable of doing absolutely nothing that is kingdom worthy. The best we can do is make a successful living on this earth and be a decent citizen in our society. But Father, hell will be filled with many successful, hardworking, decent citizens. It is by your grace and your grace alone that we are your children. And it is through us that you choose to do your great and mighty works on the earth. You have called us, your children, to forsake all and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And we unite together in this, your supper, to once again affirm that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, to proclaim the excellencies of you who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat. Lord Jesus, we are grateful to you for your sacrifice on the cross. And we are thankful for your example of how to live humbly before our God, that others might know that you are the Lord of all. Just as you called Simon Peter and the other disciples to forsake the world and to become fishers of men, in the same way you've called us. You've told us to not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon us to test us, but rather to rejoice insofar as we share in your sufferings, and that we may also rejoice and be glad when your glory is revealed. Join with us, Lord, in this your supper, showing your great glories through us, your chosen people. We thank you for shedding your precious blood for us and for all who will believe. Amen. Take the cup. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for guiding us into all truth, for leading us to not follow cleverly devised myths, but rather to follow the true, pure, and holy word of God. For false prophets have arisen among us who will be judged harshly. But because of your dwelling in us, we, your elect, are not deceived, though we would be deceived if it were possible. Continue, O Spirit of God, to direct us in our daily walk as we navigate a world hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. Help us to put aside the earthly for the heavenly in order that the word will go forth in transforming power and that Jesus Christ will be exalted in our midst. In his great name we pray, amen. And now receive the benediction. Jesus prayed the following for us. Receive that prayer even now. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Church, walk in this today. May you be one with each other, one with the body universal, and one with our Lord Jesus Christ. You are sincerely blessed. Truly and sincerely be a blessing to all.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. For more teachings and resources, please visit www.brcc.church.